chapter 9. Now, I want you to know, we're going to hit Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, three or four times during this message. But we are going to be on the Bible bus. I've entitled our message, Thank You, Jesus, because, hey, it's Thanksgiving week. So just keep that in mind. By the way, happy Thanksgiving. I guess some of you I won't see until next Sunday, but I hope that everyone's going to come out to the night of worship, prayer and Thanksgiving, especially after you hear this message. I think you'll understand why. But let's pray before we read our verse. Father, thank you so much. Once again, you've given us everything that we need, absolutely everything. And Father, this morning, no exception. And we have so much to be thankful for. And so, Father, may we remember and may we be drawn closer to you with a heart of praise and adoration. And so, Father, thank you for all that you've done. And now, Lord, speak to us and may we hear from you in the word. And Lord, remove your servant, your servant. Let me just be a conduit, Lord. In spite of me, speak, Lord. Would you please? In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And as I said, we're gonna pounce on this a couple of times, probably about three or four times. So put a bookmark there. However, Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. However, we are going to be on the Bible bus. We are going to hit quite a few psalms in our study this morning. But let's read our verse here. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I would tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Now, as we look around at, you know, it's Thanksgiving week, if you will. By the way, the original Thanksgiving the pilgrims celebrated was actually over a week long. So I call it a Thanksgiving week. But as we look around at the world today, it's sometimes difficult to be thankful. As we look at the crime and the hatred and the division in our nation right now and just all the things that are going on, it's sometimes hard to be thankful as we look around at the world. On top of that, giving thanks isn't always, Thanksgiving isn't always a happy holiday for everyone. Some people, it brings up, loved ones that they miss. It brings up, some people are going through tremendous trials right now. And so it's difficult for them to have a heart of thanksgiving. When we're going through hardships, It's difficult sometimes, but prayerfully, by the time we get through with this message, that'll be different. But I found a video, and I thought it was very interesting. Watch this video and see what you think right here.
Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for.
Now, cute video. I get the point, but it's missing the main point. God, Jesus, salvation, eternity. What if you have no feet? Should you not be thankful? What if you have no friends or family? What if you don't have any of those things? No job, no car? Does that give you the right to be ungrateful? Not when you have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, have that. You got no hope. Give it up. Clock out. Whatever you need to do. I say give your life to Jesus and find the hope that guy is missing. He's praying to the right guy, but he's looking for the wrong things. You see, as we look around the world, we can say, gosh, it's hard to be thankful. Then don't look around the world. Look at God. As we look at our circumstances, sometimes it is difficult to find something to be thankful for. Then don't look at your circumstances. Look to Christ. We must understand, thankfulness should never be based on circumstances. It should be based on Christ. And if you have Christ, then you can be thankful. Maybe not thankful for the circumstance, but you can be thankful in the circumstance, because you have Christ in you. It's not, by the way, did you understand, did you realize that it's not happiness that makes us grateful? It's gratefulness that makes us happy. It's true. How does, and here's the thing, so we say, okay, that's cool, I want to be grateful. How does gratefulness work? Well, it works like this. Whatever you value is what you are grateful for. And here's the problem, here's the rub. The rub comes when what we value is the things that are tangible. When we value what is really important, Christ and Christ alone, then all the other stuff can fade away. It doesn't matter, because we can be grateful because we have the most valuable thing in our life, which is Christ Jesus. You see, isn't that cool? Listen, for the believer, you hold the key to happiness. You hold it. And you can use it to unlock the worry, the doubt, the fear, the ungratefulness. That's a prison. But the key is Christ. That's why he said, listen, he who I make free is free indeed. Because he is the key for freedom and for happiness and for joy and for gratefulness and for, most importantly, thanksgiving. Listen, how can we not be happy if we have eternal life? Do you have eternal life? I hope you do. If you don't, I get why you're unhappy. I was too. That's why I did drugs and alcohol and everything else. It was because I was looking for something to make me happy, and nothing made me happy until I found Christ. Listen, how can we not be happy with eternal life? How can we not be happy with God's grace? And I like, you know, it's often said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, and he freely offers it to you. God loves, I love this. God loves to give me what I need, not what I deserve. And the same is true for you. You see, if God gave us what we deserve, oh man, be miserable. But you're like, but Randy, Pastor Randy, I feel like God has given me what I deserve. My life is hell. Are you saved? Well, yeah, then don't worry about it. This too shall pass. Thank you, Jesus, that he's given us a hope. Do you cling to the hope? I sure hope that your Jesus isn't your bumper sticker, your keychain, your T-shirt, your Christian music, even your Bible. Jesus Christ is a relationship. The Bible are his love stories, his love letters to us. You see, when you're in love with a person, the love letters they write you are not the person. It just tells you how much that person loves you. The Bible isn't, although it says the Word was made flesh, it tells us about Him, but it's not Him. Listen, Jesus Christ wants to have an intimate relationship with you and therefore give you hope, give you something to be thankful for, His grace. Listen, Thanksgiving shouldn't be just a holiday. Thanksgiving should be a lifestyle. You should always be thankful. Listen, since you're in Psalms, I'm a psalmaholic, so this is going to be a very psalmy service. So if you would turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Psalm 103, 2 through 5 says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So listen, one of the ways to be grateful is to remember God's benefits. Remembering God is a way that's one thing that produces faithfulness. So He says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Not Philadelphia Eagles. I heard you. Somebody was saying, I was like, stop it. Okay, stop that. Think of Jesus, not football. We'll talk about that later. Okay, but thank you, Jesus. Listen, and you say, but Pastor Randy, I'm suffering from a disease right now, and He's not healing me. No. See, here's the thing. When we get to heaven, there is no more disease. In this life, it's appointed to every man to die. And so, let's look at our verse again. Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing to Your name, O Most High. Listen, when you are truly grateful and thankful, you know what it produces? Worship, song, singing. Listen, you look at a little kid, when I'm happy, I sing. And Riley and Jennifer, they're like, either he's very tired or very happy. Because I'll sing the silliest songs. I just sing about anything. You know, I don't care. I sing about, you know, oh, that car passed me way too fast. I better speed up and catch it. I make songs. I make songs about everything. I'm not joking. I really do ask them. They're like, oh, gosh. But when I'm happy, I do that. I sing, but most importantly, when I'm happy and I'm remembering Jesus Christ, I have a song of the Lord in my heart. Gratitude produces worship. We see that right here in this verse. I will be glad and rejoice. Verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name. Oh, I will sing praise. Do you sing praise to God? Well, we'll talk about that. Listen, we need opportunities. We need opportunities to come together and worship as a body. You need opportunities to worship on your own, too, at home or in your car. Some of you keep it in your car. No, I'm just teasing. That's why this Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving, we're going to have an extended time of worship. Why? Because according to Scripture, now listen, as I did study last night, I could hit you with at least easily 20 to 25 verses just about being thankful and singing in the same verse. Listen, it is important. Listen, worship isn't about paying dues. Worship is about giving thanks. Do you realize that? Worship isn't about coming in and singing a song until Pastor Randy gets up here. Worship is your time to let out your heart to Jesus. Tell Him how you feel, how grateful, your sins, cast them upon you, your worries, your anxieties. That's what it's about. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I don't sing well. Well, maybe you consider yourself a prison singer. What are you talking about? Well, you're always behind a few bars, and you never find the right key. Prison singer. You're stuck. We need to understand that God has created us to worship Him. God has prescribed in His Scripture over and over again how to be thankful. Thankfulness will manifest itself in singing and worship. Try it. That's why, by the way, sometimes you come in and say, man, the worship is kind of loud. You know why? So that you can belt it out, even if you're not a good singer and nobody is going to hear you. Let her rip. The Lord said, make a joyful noise. Have at. It's a beautiful thing. He didn't say make a perfect sound, a joyful noise, because He knows very few people are able to get up here and do what the worship team does. But we can join them, and so we drowned you out. Have at. Look at our verse, Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. I will praise You, O Lord, with my, what? Whole heart. Well, I don't know. Praise You with my whole heart. I'm not that kind of guy. You know, the singy type, you know. Well, I didn't even sing to my bride. You know, sometimes those romantic movies, the guy will sing outside the window and serenade. You're like, man, I wanted to date her. I didn't want to run her away. Well, God is, listen, He's already the groom. It's a done deal. We should be rejoicing. We should be praising. So He says, I will praise You, O Lord, with my, what? Whole heart. And look at, jump down to verse 2, the second half. I will sing praises to Your name, O Most High. Let me give you two more psalms. And listen, I'm telling you, I selectively choose which ones. There are so many. But Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. Please turn there. Since it's Psalms, you can keep your finger on Psalm 9. We'll come back to it a couple more times. But Psalm 7, 17 says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Listen, has God given you His righteousness? Do you realize how mind-blowing that is? Listen, as I think of myself, I'm like the last person that I think God should have given mercy and grace to. Because I know me. But He does. And when you think about what we receive from Him undeservingly, that should draw us into a place of just praising Him and worshiping Him. Not just in song, but then also in our prayer time. Our remembrance, and we're going to talk about that here momentarily. Even in our giving, whether it be our time, our treasure, or our talents. How we give shows how grateful and thankful we are for what He has done for us. Listen, oftentimes people say, you know, if Jesus didn't do another thing, everything's great. Really? If He really never answered another one of your prayers, would you be thankful? See, that's the question. How about Psalm 92? If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. You can write it down. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness every night. Look at that. It says, in the morning, declare His goodness. In the night, declare His goodness. The beginning and the end of your day. You know, I think of, there's a couple of guys in the Bible that there's nothing negative written about them. Joseph and Daniel. Nothing negative. Well, here's the thing. You know, Daniel was very victorious. He was awesome. Awesome young man. Incredible when you realize what he went through. But over in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, just before he gets thrown in the lion's den, listen to what it says. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room and opened windows, and where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Three times a day, Daniel would face Jerusalem, longing to be where God's temple was. And he got on his knees and he prayed, just as he had done before. In other words, this was his custom. This was his normal practice. And that is why when he went into the trial, into the lion's den, he was able to be victorious, because he had already spent all the time giving thanks to God. He was already remembering all the good things about God. So when something came upon him that was difficult, he knew this: God is good. He's faithful. I've been talking to him three times a day. Listen, worship is a way to give thanks, to be thankful. Prayer is a way to be thankful. That's what it says here in Daniel. Three times a day, morning, midday, and evening. It said he knelt down and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Listen, we can worship in song. We can worship in prayer. And by the way, only trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ can bring lasting thankfulness and strength. You see, Daniel got his strength from trusting in the Lord at the beginning and the end of his day. And he had a thankful heart. There's a story I ran across of a lady, and every day that she went to church at prayer meetings, she'd pray the same exact prayer. And it went like this: Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. That was it. And so finally, some of the people came up to her and said, "Why? You know, we're not complaining. It's good. We understand you love the Lord. But why is it that you pray the same exact short prayer every week?" And she answered, "Well, it's the only prayer I know. You see, I live in a bad neighborhood. And so at night when we're going to bed, I don't know if there's going to be a drive-by shooting, if stray bullets are going to come through the house, or someone's going to break in. So at night I pray, Oh Lord. And in the morning I wake up, thank you, Jesus. When I put my children on the bus to go to school, I don't know what they're going to run into at school. So I pray, Oh Lord. And when they come home safely, thank you, Jesus. So you see, when I come to church, I just put my two prayers together. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. I like that. But the problem is sometimes we're not very good. We're very good at the first part. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, this. But we're not very good at just thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Listen, we must realize that prayer without thanksgiving really isn't prayer. It's just a shopping list. You know, I often say we need to seek God's face, not his hand. And that's important. It is very important. I think sometimes in America, we're not thankful because we have too much. Things are readily available for us here in America. You know, Jesus, he took a little boy's lunch, some loaves and some fish. The disciples were not grateful for it. In fact, they didn't think it was sufficient. They thought it was inadequate. But what did Jesus do? He took it, he broke it, and what did he do? He gave thanks for a little boy's lunch. Too often, we're ungrateful for things because we think they're not that important. You know, I try not to do that. When we pray on Saturday, I know some people, when they come the first time, they think it's weird. I pray thanking God every single time. I pray, thank you for the bathrooms. Because we added the bathrooms. And I never want to take them for granted. We prayed and prayed. I'm not going to go, okay, now we got them. Okay, forget it. No, I'm still grateful. Thank you that the ACs and the heaters work. Thank you for the carpet that's been, the chairs. Thank you for the podium and the speakers. And thank you for the fellowship hall. Thank you for my office. I thank for the simplest things. Why? Because they're really not simple. When you're grateful for them, God can multiply it and do some great, great things. Jesus took the little fish. The disciples thought, it's just a little boy's lunch. You know, it's like having some granimals or something. I don't know, or graham crackers or whatever. He broke it and then he fed all the people. He said, no. When you give thanks, when you take something simple and you give it to God and you give thanks for it, it becomes something great. When you take something simple like your salvation and you thank God for it every day, He can make what's simple something useful. Thank you, Jesus. Looking back at Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. I will tell, listen to this. I will tell of all your marvelous works. And then he says this, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in you. You see, so worship is a way to be thankful. Prayer is a way to be thankful. Remembering God is a way to be thankful. Remembering who He is and how He loves us and what He has done. Not only that, when you remember who God is and what He's done, to tell other people about Him is awesome. You know why? Because as I'm telling you about Jesus, it's reaffirming my faith. It's helping me over the hump, the difficulties. You know, sometimes on a Saturday night, I'm just tormented. And I was like, And I get up, wake up, I'm up all night. And I come over here and I start teaching. And by the time service is over, all of my cares, all of my concerns are just gone. Why? Because I spent a couple hours telling people, remembering God's faithfulness. And it like clicks. It's like, oh yeah, He's good. What am I doing? It's like I snap out of this daze. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. All of His wonderful deeds. He gave you life. He gives you breath. He gives you another day. He gave you His Son. And one day, He'll give us heaven. Wow. Isn't that amazing? When you really stop to think about it, and then we get upset. My car broke down. Listen, I understand. It's difficult when you're in that position. But I've been there. I haven't suffered everything that y'all suffered, but I've suffered some things. And they all pass. They all end. And God is still faithful to you, faithful to me. Why? Because He loves us. Thank you, Jesus. How about Chronicles 16? Ooh, I got out of Psalms. Amazing. Chronicles 16, verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name, making known His deeds among the people. Do you let people know about what Jesus has done for you? You do that? Can I tell you that if you start doing that, you will find that you will be more grateful, more thankful, because it'll remind you of just how good God is. You know, I remember one time I was upset with God and I said, I'm not going to speak about God anymore. And the first person I met, I'm not kidding, said, hey man, can I know you're a Christian. Can you tell me about, I started talking, got back in my truck and I was like, I'm sorry, God, I'll never, because it reminded me He is good. Quit looking at the circumstances. And by the way, in Chronicles 16, verse 8, but if you jump down to 16:34, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Listen, His love for you is immovable. It doesn't change. You and I change. His love doesn't change. His love is faithful. So why aren't you grateful? I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but it did. I like what Charles Finney says. Charles Finney says, a state of mind that sees God in everything is evidence of growth in grace and a thankful heart. Ha. You know, Paul Writing was here. He's one of the Houston guys. And as long as I've known him, It doesn't matter what's going on. He just turns everything to God, to Jesus. Everything. Hey, man, I was struggling. Got this can of soda open. Yeah, praise Jesus. It's all his glory to God. It's like, come on, dude. Chill. It's just a can of soda. No, everything. Everything. He points it to Jesus. And you know why? His mind, he sees everything through the filter of God's word and his promises. And so I've never seen that guy unhappy or sad or angry. He's just always just Paul giving glory to God. You know, he says here, Charles Finney says, the state of mind that sees God in everything. I love David's heart. David's heart in Psalm 27. Here's another psalm. I told you we're going to be very psalmy today. Psalm 27 verse 4 says this. One thing. How many things? One thing I have desired of the Lord. A new car. A bigger house. Yeah. A bigger paycheck. To win the lotto. Hit a perfect score in golf or bowling. Catch the biggest. No. He says this. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord. One thing I seek. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All else will be added to you. Here, David, before Christ, said, one thing I want. I just want to behold your beauty, Jesus. I just want, Lord God, he didn't know Jesus yet. I just want to behold your beauty. I just want to see you, God. Why? Because if my eyes are staying on you, I have everything. In verse 6, the end of verse 6, he says, therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. There it is again. To see God means you bring sacrifices in the temple and you sing to God. There's a giving and the giving of his talent, his voice, and his songs. Is that your heart? If you behold the beauty of Christ, how can you not just go, oh, to sing to God? Or maybe we have to examine whether or not we just know of God rather than know him and all his glory. Listen, if I had a transcript of your prayer life this year, how many times would I read that you were just thankful for who God is? What would I know about you? What would I learn? Listen, when I say being thankful, that's not just going, oh man, thank you, Lord, that cop didn't pull me over. Scary. That's not, well, I'm talking about heartfelt, deep prayer, a worship and things. God, I just want to thank you. I love this. One time we were praying on a Friday night and Miriam just did the most beautiful prayer. She just said, Lord, I just want to thank you for once. Just prayer of nothing but praise to you. And I was like, yeah, that's good. It was awesome. It's so true. What does your prayer life consist of? Is it a shopping list every single time? Listen, I'll tell you, I have a lot of concerns. As a pastor, there's a long list, you know, children's church and worship and sound and ushers and maintenance and cleaning and all these things, you know, and all these different people and I'm praying for all this stuff, my message and this. But you know what? There comes a time when we have to just stop and say, Lord, all I want to do is worship you. I've got nothing to ask from you. What is your prayer life this year? What is your worship life like? Do you realize that thankfulness is a lost art? It really is. Have you ever done something for someone? Yeah. And have them display an ungrateful heart or a lack of gratitude? Have you ever had that? Warren Wiersbe tells a story of a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was a part of a life-saving squad. And then in 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan. Edward Spencer waded in again and again in the frigid water and rescued 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. And for several years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him personally. Do you realize Jesus Christ came down and waded in a sea of inhumanity and rescued us from a cold world of sin? And caused him permanent damage. In fact, we see in Revelation 5:6 that when we behold Jesus for the first time, he looks like a lamb before the slaughter, because he will still bear all the scars that it took for him to rescue us. How sad would it be if we failed to say, thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Lord. But Randy, Pastor Randy, you don't know what I'm going through right now. You're right. I don't know. But I don't need to know. He knows. And he loves you. I like what George Mueller, by the way, George Mueller, a man of much prayer, what he said. He said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. But the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Bye-bye, anxiety. Get out of here. I have faith in the Lord Jesus. See, Mueller had a firm grasp of Colossians 4:2, which says, continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So prayer is a thankful way of giving thanks. Worship, remembering, telling others of his wondrous works. Prayer. Giving to the Lord. He also understood Philippians 4:6. Be anxious about, but in everything by and supplication with. Yeah, and that's not turkey. With the turkey leg. No, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Listen, you have a choice. We can have a hopeless end, or we can have an endless hope. You get to choose. Yay. Here's what Paul said. You know, I quoted from Philippians 4, but Philippians 4:11 and 13 says this. Paul was in a Mamertine prison, chained to a Praetorian guard 24/7, and here's what he wrote. He didn't have a bunch of money and a big house and a car and none of that stuff. He's in prison for sharing the gospel. And he says this, verse 11, not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to abase, I know how to abound, and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who. Yeah. Yeah, listen, we are thankful because it is Christ who strengthens us. And how strong is Christ? Very. Listen, the Dodgers and the Cowboys can't strengthen you. Mercedes and Porsche can't strengthen you. Apple and Mac can't strengthen you. Gucci and Versace can't strengthen you. The Lotto and Vegas can't strengthen you. Republican or Democrat can strengthen you. Only Jesus Christ can strengthen us. Only. In fact, most of these things will make you weaker and poorer and embittered and disheartened if you put your faith and trust in them. Let's look at our verse again. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in who? In you. I will be glad and rejoice in Jesus. What are you glad in? What makes you glad? What makes you happy? What brings you the most joy in your week? I pray it's the Lord Jesus. And of course he says, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Almost high. Is there something else in your life that's higher than Jesus? It's not supposed to be. Jesus is supposed to be what? Most high. In other words, he's supposed to be above all things in our life. There's an old saying that says this: careful for nothing, prayerful for everything, thankful for anything. And I wanted to add to that: without him, we have nothing. With him, we have everything. Because of him, I haven't need of anything. And it's so true. So where's your heart this morning? Is it thankful? Are you filled with gratitude? Do you recognize that even if you, that video, even if you didn't, you couldn't buy Starbucks every day? Yeah, I know. Even if you didn't have a car that was running, even if you didn't have the most comfortable bed or a bed, Paul's in prison. And he's being thankful. Paul and Silas, remember, they were thrown in jail, and what did they do at midnight? They sang. Why? Because they were thankful. Really? Yeah. And then what happened? God showed up and freed them. Do you feel locked up in chains? Do you feel bound? Do you feel like a prisoner to the things you want that you can't have? The things that you think you need? Are you a prisoner to those things? Listen, it could be all kinds of things. It doesn't have to even be monetary. It could be relational. Trust in the Lord. Give thanks. Have a thankful heart. Okay, I don't like the way things are going right now, but you know what? The way things are going right now won't last. Because either you're going to change them or you're going to send me home. Either way, it's a win-win. Because Jesus is faithful. Do you believe that? Some of you are like, I don't know. Do we believe that? I know I do. And so if we believe that, we should have a thankful heart. Today and every day, not just on Thanksgiving. Listen, at Thanksgiving, you know, my family, we sit around and we go one at a time and everybody says what they're thankful for. And with the kids, they usually say the same exact thing. It's like, boop, 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 say something different. But they'll say, you know, but that's okay. You know, it's the effort. But it shouldn't just be on Thanksgiving. Does Jesus only show up on Sundays for you? Does Jesus only show up on Sundays and Wednesdays? Does Jesus only show up on Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas? I hope not. Because then who's showing up the rest of the days? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit, and for setting this whole plan in motion so that we wouldn't be without love, without hope, without a reason to be thankful. Because in all honesty, to look at this earth and the world around us, at times it looks pretty grim. But that's okay, because you're so bright, Lord. You're so beautiful. Father, help us, Lord, to see you more clearly so that we would have a grateful, thankful heart. And Father, I do pray that every day this week, we would rise and we would end the day with our list of things that we are thankful for and not a list of things that we need from you. Lord, you're not our waiter. You're not our busboy. You're our Savior. You're our Abba Father. You're the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. And Lord, I don't know if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't made a commitment, or even if you found yourself this year not very thankful because of circumstance. May that all change for you today, because Jesus truly does love us and he loves you. May we set our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we remember that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory, which are found in Christ Jesus. May we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and know that all else will be added to us according to his understanding of our needs. And if we are in the boat and a storm is a brewing around us, may we remember that Jesus said he will never leave nor forsake us. He will get us to the other side. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. This life is a struggle. We struggle against our flesh, the world, and the devil. And Father, if anyone feels like they're losing the battle, may they remember that your word says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Lord, it's all about you, Lord. And so, Father, as we remember those things, may it well up in us in a song of thanksgiving and of praise. And may we tell others about the wonderful works that you have done in our lives. And Father, may we have a song in our heart, praise on our lips. Oh, so good. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.